between Josh Anderson. Well, they let him go. A stumbler comes down the ice and scores anyway. There's too many things going on. It's like a circus, a three-ring circus.
Bertuzzi chugs in after it in the far corner in the Tampa Bay zone. He's out of the penalty box. Cuts out in front, shoots, scores! Goal number four for Tyler Bertuzzi tonight.
Been a long block by Schwartz. That's Kraken hockey, baby. The Seattle Kraken have won their first game in the National Hockey League.
Formanson with a shot, scores! 0.6 seconds left, they beat the buzzer. 3-0 Ottawa.
TSN 1200.
It's just so good to play highlights again, man. It's just good stuff. Welcome back, everybody, or welcome to the show. 8:08 here on a Friday morning. J.R. Zimmer and Hammer. People are laughing at me right now, folks, for you listening on the radio, and Dave Poulin standing by as well going, why are the fellas on time? Like, what's going on? Did J.R. finally acquire a watch? No. Because our next guest has an appointment that he's got to get to, so he's actually going to be appearing on time. The time that he is regularly scheduled to appear with us, which is 8:10, but I tend to get a little late because I start just talking about stuff. Zimmer gets talking, and before we know it, we're late.
I hope our guest is just a maintenance day. A little concerned 3 days in if there's injuries occurring.
Let's bring him in. A presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. We say hello and good morning to Dave Poulin from TSN. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
I'm doing very well, gentlemen, and I totally appreciate the talking part because each time you see or hear one of those highlights, you've got 9 different story angles off it, whether it be Tyler Bertuzzi with 4, the comeback by Tampa Bay, or whatever it is. So I understand that. But to your point, Zimmer, you have to take care of your body and your mind. And
you just found that out now?
Well, this may surprise you, but there's some mileage on this one. The reason, the secret to it for me is that this just doesn't happen. You have to look after it.
Oh, absolutely. So
every time I actually had a workout song list made by one of my daughters because she heard this line so often every time I was going to work out, and it was, this blank doesn't just happen. And she made me up a song list for my workouts because every time I went to work out, I was like, you think this just happens, guys?
So, what kind of tunes are we talking, Pooley?
Oh, vintage stuff. I'm very eclectic on the music side, but just vintage. Everything from old Janis Joplin through all the way across the board.
Well, Dave, as you can imagine, yesterday was a very good day here in Ottawa for a lot of different reasons. Hard to think. I actually asked people this morning, kind of fill in the blank. This is the best day to be a Sens fan since blank. You had the Tkachuk news in the morning. You had the season starting for Ottawa. It's a home game. There's fans in the building for the first time. And then they go out and, there are a few speed wobbles along the way, but they end up winning the game over their arch rivals at the end of the night. Let's take it through the day as you kind of consumed it. And first of all, when you heard the news on the Brady Tkachuk deal and then you saw the details, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think, I maintain there was a deal there to be made throughout, and the timing is always hard and always frustrating. And when I saw Brady last night, the energy and the excitement, and we couldn't stop laughing on the set, and Duffy was just howling because he goes, most players come out and give a little wave, and Brady was both hands up and fist pump, and he was leading the way. But, there was a deal to be made, and I was thinking back to when we signed Tyler Bozak. He went right to free agency, right to the 1st of July. And the minute he signed, he was the happiest guy in the world. Like, he went from having not smiled in 2 months to being the happiest kid in the world and never was going to leave and loved the Leafs and loved his role here and loved everything else. And as we watched Brady last night, they wish they'd had that a week earlier, and all those and got him in camp. But it's done, and the importance of it, guys, I think, you've got the player that you feel is going to be your star and your leader done at a number that is reasonable within the league and within the team. And the key to that is you've got your internal cap. There's two different things with the salary cap. There's the league cap, and then there's your internal cap and how you're going to structure your numbers inside. And now for every player coming behind him, it's going to be, if you're a defenseman, there's Thomas Chabot, and be better than him. And if you're a forward, there's Brady Tkachuk, and be better and contribute more than him. And if you do get a player who attains those lofty goals, then you're fine paying him a little bit more. But you know, your hope is that they're going to be lofty goals. And I think a lot about who's done it the best and then the perception of the player that signed that contract. And so Boston's a team that seemed to always maintain their salary, whether, I mean, back to being Ray Bourque and then Patrice Bergeron, you know, almost staple to staple if you look at it. So you're coming in and you're a young Boston Bruin and, you know, you're a young star, whoever you may be. And you're looking at Patrice Bergeron and you're saying, wow, that sort of looks like he's got a perfect life. Maybe it's not about making the most money by the dollar. Maybe it's about being on a really good team that competes every year and goes to the finals and has a chance to win a cup, which they did in 2011. And man, he seems happy. And you know, and that's something that you could build around Brady Tkachuk with his energy, with his enthusiasm. The team has to win. They, you know, it looks like they're going to have an opportunity to do that moving forward. But then every other player in the organization looks at a Brady Tkachuk and says, wow, that's a pretty good life he's got there. I mean, he's really happy. He's got more than enough money. Maybe it's not about having the most money. And I think that number is a workable number, guys. I think it's going to be workable going forward to have that, if that, in fact, is your highest paid forward for, you know, for the reasonable time being.
Any feel on what it might have gave in the negotiations to get to a deal?
Well, I think it was what we talked about, Simmer. I think we had it down pretty good on this show in that within the numbers, there could be structure that, you know, that gave him a little bit more. And that key for me is, I believe it's years 3 through 5 when it balloons up. And I'm laughing at Cap Friendly because they're so good, right? I mean, they're so good at what they do. So, you know, if you look at it this morning, you're like, well, Brady Tkachuk doesn't show up. He shows up in a category called registration pending. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I've never seen that before on Cap Friendly, but people, you know, they knew that they'd want to look at Brady's contract and the construction of it. So you go down to the bottom to registration pending. And so then you see the structure and the structure within years 3, 4, and 5 when escrow is at its lowest point. Well, it's still dollars, guys, and it, you know, it's hard dollars. If it goes down to 6% and it's at 17.2% this year, you know, 11% of $8+ million is a lot of money. So I think it was the structure within the deal that got it done. There's no cap bonus, and then the 8 years to 7 years, and I'm fine with 7 years. That's still a very long-term deal. It's not 5 years, it's not 4 years, it's not 3 years, and so I'm still fine with that number.
I'm curious as to why, and maybe it's only to me, and a lot of people said, why do you care? The 7 years is interesting to me because, you know, if it was short-term, long-term, 3 or 8, that's kind of what we were all hung up on, right? You know, he wanted to bridge 3, Sens won 8. It ends up being 7. And it's, I don't think it's as simple as that's the uniform number that he wears is what a lot of people have been telling me. I think it's got to be more than that. Why you put on your former assistant GM of the Leafs cap. Why do you think 7 is the right term here?
I think he's looking at his own age. Maybe he wants to still be in his 20s when he steps into his next, you know, potential free agent situation. It could be as simple as that. And, you know, those negotiated years of free agency, JR, each side has a different view of them. And, you know, from a player's standpoint, you know, you're looking at it and saying, okay, I can get the free agency at 29 years old. And then they'll show them a whole bunch of comps that have signed at 29 years old, whether it's semantics or not, the two being in front of your age versus free agents that have signed at 30 years old. So there'd be a lot of back homework done on this on both sides of it. And I think the 7 years is really key as you build out Ottawa as well, because then they're going to look at, okay, well, where does that put the other pieces of this puzzle in place? And so, you know, it seems crazy to think you'd haggle over a year at almost $3 million. But that's what arguably got the deal done, was that year. And I'm not even sure which side it got the deal done on, but it got the deal done.
Yeah, and even on dating apps, that change in age pool is crucial. expectations now for a guy coming in. I'm assuming you got to be a little careful of the enthusiasm and making sure that you're not going to injure him or let him, because as JR said, he's pretty much a wild horse at this point.
Yes, and I referenced last night the first time I was between the benches with Brady Tkachuk in a game, and I would only wish that every Ottawa Senators fan could stand between the benches with no glass in front of you and in here and watch and see Brady Tkachuk at ice level. And as simple as every single line change, he's got somebody on the other team factored into the game. And then when he comes to the bench and he's done something wrong and an assistant coach storms down to the end of the bench with an iPad, 20 seconds later, he's got the assistant coach laughing. And his energy level is so effective. I don't think you're going to temper that. And you're going to have to watch physically what you expose him to initially until you see where he's at from a conditioning standpoint. You're simply going to have to be smart about it. And that's where the experts get involved and they'll do their testing and they'll say, okay, you know, here's where he's at. Here's what we think he's capable of, be it 12 minutes, 14 minutes, 16 minutes. And then guess what? Once the game starts and you watch him, you take over with gut instinct and DJ Smith makes his line changes and you go. But what this does now immediately is slots everybody in a little better place. You know, and however this shakes out, we don't know for sure, but if Brady goes in at the top and Stutzla slides in with Pinto, and by the way, I know you know I'm a Shane Pinto guy. He was really good last night without scoring a point. Really good. And as a number of the Senators were. But, you know, and where does this put Alex Formanton? Because I thought he was really good last night. His speed was so on display. And he's one that benefited from Brady not being here because I thought he was totally fine with Norris and Batherson through the early part of the exhibition season. In fact, I thought he was really good. So his confidence is growing as a player, and that's one of the benefits of this, you know, Tkachuk situation. You do have to be careful with him early because the longer you hold out, the more challenging it is to step in and go warp speed, and they're going to warp speed right now compared to wherever he was training. This is a different level.
We all know with Brady Tkachuk, David, isn't necessarily all about the numbers, but that's what a lot of us do focus on. And, you know, he'll be measured in part by how many goals can he score. So, you know, whenever that max season is for him, what do you think is a realistic projection for the highest number of goals Brady Tkachuk can score in a season?
Oh, well, you know, I factor in a lot of different pieces. I think they're going to have a good power play. They've got the components of a good power play. He's got the components of a really good line mates. You know, I think through the next couple of years, I think he's between 30 and 40. I think that's reasonable. And I think there's an upside to 40 as he matures. I really do, as he learns the nuances. You know, you can even watch him, if I'm thinking to his step out from below the goal line, has gotten way better on the power play. So small detail, you know, well, what does that do? Well, once the puck goes from the half wall in Norris down to Brady Tkachuk below the goal line, and he steps out hard, which he's done and scored, that's a weapon. But all of a sudden, now he bumps it to Batherson, and Batherson's wide open in the slot because they've got to compensate. So little details like that that he adds to the game, as minute as they seem to be, and so now Batherson gets a great scoring opportunity. Brady walks out and jams in the rebound. So I think with all the weapons that he's capable of, we know he seems to get free a lot up ice. Like he times when he goes. He gets a lot of opportunities on breakaway-like or semi-breakaway situations. And we know about his volume of shots. He's one of the shot leaders in the league, if not the shot leader in the league. So all those components, I think you're between 30 and 40. For the next year to couple of years, and I think there's an upside to 40.
To reach up to 40, Pooley, is he going to have to become a bigger threat off the rush?
He is, but it's almost singular off the rush.
But I meant right more more as a shooter, though. You know where you know he gets into those spots like his dad would.
Yeah, I do see that, but I also see you know the nifty line mates he's playing with. The rush would be different components, right? The rush would be singular in that. A breakaway or knowing when to pop free, or it'd be a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 or with a Thomas Chabot like defenseman joining. Well, you think of, okay, now let's really project ahead. Now what's going to happen when Jake Sanderson starts joining the rush? I mean, we're watching highlights come out of his college, you know, year already that are ridiculous. And so what happens now when you have a couple of different guys from the back end that are capable of joining the rush? So, you know, then you've got a 4-on-something situation. So there's lots of different components to build into Brady's game that can make this work.
Let's talk about the game last night, which ended up being a 3-2 Ottawa win. They got out to the big lead in the first period. The Leafs came storming in the third period, got it close, but Anton Forsberg ends up making 46 saves. Just an overall thought on the game from you from an Ottawa perspective.
An excellent start by Ottawa, and they took advantage of a couple of bounces, and that's what good teams have to do. Their special teams factors in with the Ennis goal, but it's a save with about 6 minutes left that Forsberg makes on bunting on a cross pass that is huge, absolutely huge. So you look at Forsberg's game and say, man, he was good. He weathered the storm down, you know, through the start of the second period. He was terrific on Nylander. But it's that save with about 6 minutes to go in the first period that Forsberg, you know, goes a long way towards winning that hockey game. But you don't know that at the time. And the Leafs are still dangerous. They're down 3-0, guys. And you know, the common thing you're thinking is if they get one, they're off to the races, and they were. And through the early part of the second period, they were really, really dangerous, and that's when he was great again. And then late in the third, you know, again. So there's different points in a game, and, you know, overall he ends up with 46 saves. Really, really good from Anton Forsberg, and really encouraging. And, you know, this guy hasn't had a net to run with entire career. Like, it, you know, people like him by the fact that he gets moved and picked up on waivers and they think he's an NHL goalie, but he hasn't really settled in. So he gets an opportunity early, and DJ Smith says, you know, Matt Murray's the incumbent. We know that. And, you know, amongst us anyway, there was also chat that what about Gustafson, and the fact that he didn't need waivers may have been the only reason that it was an option to send him down, because he had a pretty good camp as well, even though we know he can use more seasoning. So I loved Forsberg's game, but I love the situational saves within the game that I thought were just huge for him. And then, you know, and then Tierney scores a goal early and then, you know, takes a terrible penalty, just a terrible penalty. And he's trying to protect a young player in Formanton, you know, against a guy. Now, you know, my first thought was, I wonder if there's a history between Tierney and Bunting from London and the Sioux. Because they're 1 year apart in age. And, you know, he's probably watched the Bunting Act in junior, which no one really even knows the Bunting Act in the NHL yet. But he's probably watched the Bunting Act in junior, the, you know, the net front guy, the guy who'll take a dive to draw a penalty, which he's already been effective at doing. And he's going to say, I've had enough of this. But it's a terrible penalty at that time of the game. And then after that, you know, he was back. He hits the post. He has a couple more scoring chances. And I actually thought he played his best hockey after the penalty. And I give credit to DJ and the coaching staff for putting him back out there at that point.
Yeah, playing guilty. Interesting dilemma, maybe, or maybe it's not a dilemma for DJ Smith tomorrow night. Now, we'll presume that Matt Murray will be healthy enough to play tomorrow night. They've got back-to-back games this weekend. Is there any thought, based on how well Forsberg played last night, to roll right back with him tomorrow against Toronto and put Murray in Sunday? Or since Murray is the incumbent, you have to play him tomorrow?
That discussion's going on right now, not only on this radio station, JR. That's going on in the coach's office somewhere. And, you know, whoever's there first is sitting looking at the next time the door opens, whether it's DJ that's sitting watching who walks in or whoever's sitting watching DJ walk in. And they're looking at each other, and there's a slight smile on their faces, and they're saying, well, we have options now, boys. What do you think? And that's the beauty of that discussion. And I've sat in on those discussions, and they're lots of fun, because the options are good. You know, it's when you don't have a choice and you're looking for an option that you struggle. But Anton Forsberg has certainly given them a lot of reason to think between now and tomorrow night.
And Pooley, nobody in here is Marc-Andre Fleury, but when Murray was at his best, was less pressure and competition, I'd roll right back with Forsberg. And would he not handle this as a real competition versus catering to a guy that could practice a couple of days, but because of the flu couldn't end up dressing last night?
I think it plays it perfectly, Simmer. I really do. I think that's part of the equation of a winning team, is learning the balance and learning your guys and making sure they can both handle that, because it's going to happen somewhere down the road.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy your day under the hood today, Dave, whatever that may be. we'll look forward to chatting with you again on Monday. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a great day, guys. Thanks very much.
Welcome back. Easy for me to say to the show, everybody. 836, JR, Simmer, Hammer, Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Bruins. They're going to begin their new season coming up tomorrow. They're going to play Dallas, who will then play Ottawa on Sunday. So we're looking forward to talking to friend of the show, Bruce Cassidy, in about 10 minutes or so from now. But in the meantime, we've got our contestant ready to go in our King, or in this case, Queen of the Grill contest. We say good morning to Glenda. How are you doing this morning, Glenda?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Now, do you have a barbecue at home?
I do, an old one.
Oh, okay, like falling apart, terrible.
Well, it doesn't light up very well. I have to use a lighter.
And it's that one where you kind of as you turn the gas, is it gas barbecue?
It's a gas barbecue.
Yeah,
propane,
and you put the lighter in, but do you hold your face back a little bit because you're not quite sure how big the plume of the flame is going to be, one of those?
Kind of. I use a really long lighter, so.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Now, everybody exactly is picking up what you're laying. So what you're saying is you're in need of a new barbecue and a perfect
one. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what our, in this case, Queen of the Grill contest is all about, Glenda, because we have up for grabs a Traeger Pro 575 pellet grill that we're going to be giving away to one of our qualifiers on Monday, November the 1st. So you've got a chance to qualify right now if you can solve our skill testing question. You ready to do it?
I'll give it a try.
Okay. Have you heard the contest, our contest?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So you know how difficult this is going to be, right?
Well, I hope it's not too difficult
okay,
for
it's
me.
It's 50-50, Glenda.
Okay.
There's only two possible answers. One of them is the correct answer. So, Glenda, here's the question.
All right.
What type of wood should you use for smoking meat? What type of wood should you use for smoking meat? Should you use wood chips? Or should you use wood paneling? Glenda, wood chips or wood paneling, what would be the type of wood you should use to smoke meat? Glenda, what's your answer?
I'm going to say wood chips.
Wood chips is the answer. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, apple smoked wood chips.
Apple smoked wood chips would be even a better choice. And that is the right choice, Glenda. Way to go.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Congratulations. I can't say yes, sir, really, because you've done it. You've qualified, Glenda, for the grand prize draw for that brand-new Traeger grill, courtesy of Capital Barbecue. Congratulations.
That's wonderful.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, good luck, and have a great day and a great weekend.
You too.
Bye. All right. All right, there she goes, Queen of the Grill contestant, Glenda.
That's outstanding. I think of a wooden paddling, I think of two things. The old rec room back in the day and the side of Hammer's minivan.
Yeah.
there is no wood pick.
You got four wheels on that thing, yeah?
We still haven't gotten it back yet.
Whoa. How big is this bill going to be? That's like 2 weeks.
It's already been paid.
And you don't have it?
And there's
what kind of fly-by-night garage are you dealing with?
No, Hammer drives by, and the guy, he's calling me saying, I got two of my best guys on it right now, and they're laying on the hood.
Well, it takes a lot to fix that wood paneling, man. It takes a lot.
Yeah. All right, so there we go. You'll have another chance to qualify coming up with In the Box after 10 o'clock this morning, and yet another chance on the drive this afternoon at 2 in our King or Queen of the Grill contest. And we'll do it all again next week as well. Thanks to Capital Barbecue for stepping in. We'll take a break. It's 8:40. Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Bruins, will join us in the next segment. They've got their home opener and season opener tomorrow against Dallas. So we'll get you caught up on Bruins and a good Ottawa guy. We'll do some Ottawa hockey talk as well. I'll look forward to that. More on the Sens, more on the Tkachuk signing coming up in the next hour. More wrenches, by the way. Keep those coming on this wrench-throwing Friday. We'll look back on last night's Thursday night NFL game as Brady and the Bucks take care of the Eagles. And the Dodgers win in dramatic fashion to move on in the baseball playoffs. That's all straight ahead right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Seems like an appropriate song. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back. 8:45 here on a Friday morning. Sens win 3-2 over the Leafs. The rematch goes tomorrow in Toronto. And then the Dallas Stars are here for I have a feeling a lot of people haven't really looked at their schedule and go, oh, there's a game on Sunday? Yeah, they're playing the Dallas Stars Sunday at 5 o'clock. Our next guest may play a role in how the Sens do in that game. If his team can soften up the Stars on Saturday in their season opener, then maybe the Sens have a chance against Dallas on Sunday. But that's for Ottawa to figure out. Joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline this morning, we welcome friend of the show, and I'm sure anxious to get his season underway, the head coach of the Boston Bruins, Bruce Cassidy. How are you doing this morning, Bruce?
Good, fellas. I like the intro, shipping up to Boston. That's the third period song for us at home when we have a lead in the last time out, so it's always a good one.
There you go. It's been a while since you've heard it then, because it's been a long time without. So how anxious are you? I mean, you're watching, your guys are watching. How hard is it to watch other teams start their season, and you're not beginning actually until tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a little odd that we're this far. You know, in Tampa's already played twice, and in Toronto and Montreal. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. I think a couple of years ago, we were scheduled to start in Prague. So I don't know if it affected the start of this year, because they thought about maybe pushing it back here. I'm not even sure, because typically we'd be up and running. But anyway, we'll get a little extra rest. Hopefully it pays off down the road.
Butch, I haven't even looked at the schedule, but for tradition, Boston used to be that team that wanted to head west right away and get on the road and get the boys gelling. Do you believe in that, and how does the schedule look starting off?
I do. I think having a good road trip early on is always good for your team. Maybe not right away. Maybe get a few games under your belt, see where you're at. I think they did it years ago with the old circus, right, in Boston, and they'd head out, and then Chicago, I think it was next. But at the end of the day, we have a short one. We're going to Philly and Buffalo. Not quite California, but hopefully the guys get to know each other a little bit. But nothing crazy early. I think our biggest trip is to we go out Western Canada in early December, the Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver swing. So that might be the first opportunity for them to truly get together. And by then, I don't know, 20 games under your belt might be good timing.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at your schedule. You're saving the good trips, like to the West Coast and to Arizona, et cetera, for late January. Oh. Getting out of Boston. Nothing wrong with that either, right?
I like that. I like that Arizona trip in January. That's one typically we've done early. Arizona, Colorado, Dallas, kind of late October, early November. So, trust me, it's still nice to get out there because we usually have some days off in between. But middle of winter, guys might appreciate it a little more for sure.
Yeah, actually, and then I look at it, and then that's right before the Olympic break. And then right after the Olympic break, you're going back out west again to Seattle and to L.A. and San Jose. So you got a nice sandwich around the Olympic break. And we might as well jump off there because I think since the last time we talked to you, the news has come out about the Olympic coaching staff, and you're going to be a part of all that. Tell us. I know that's not going to be your focus or even, but what part of you is kind of thinking ahead to what's going to be going on in Beijing and you being part of Team Canada?
Well, thanks. It's a great honor to represent your country. So for me, I was flattered and really just really special moment when I got the call. So and then we met in Banff with the coaching staff, management, some other team personnel, and then sort of started talking a bit about that. So we've tried to keep up with it a little bit as we go. I mean, we all got to take care of our day jobs right now, but at the end of the day, we, as the coaches, we have a little bit of a kind of a text chain. And so periodically Coop will fire something out and, what do you think of this? Cause I think Coop will have a big say in personnel, the last few sort of players, and he's looking for opinions here and there. Watch this guy and how does he fit, et cetera. So it's just your usual stuff. You're excited to talk about it, even though it's whatever it is, 4 months away, and sort of start drilling down. But at the end of the day, we've got to take care of stuff here first and have some time to mix that in.
I'm assuming Bergeron and Marchand will be on, Butch. But as we saw in Tampa Bay, can be a little dicey as a coach. Better to avoid some of those discussions because at the end of the day, it's not your choice anyway.
Yeah, I mean, for me, we're going to push for our players, obviously. I mean, you have a natural bias. They play their hearts out for the Bruins, so you'd like them to represent their country. I mean, Bergie's been there before on many occasions, so I still think he's got a lot of good hockey left in him. Marshy, to me, is the elite left winger in the league, and who knows who else will pop on our team along the way. So, and then you got Pasta, who's going to, represent the Czech Republic. I think McAvoy will be there for the Americans, so there's a few different guys here that are going to get a crack at it. So it's always good when you have elite players like that. But at the end of the day, like I said, that'll be more Doug Armstrong and Coop will get together and they'll make the call on that.
Good chance, as you said, that Bergeron Marchand will be on that team. And, there's the two guys into their 30s. They keep themselves in great shape. They're still at or near the top of their game. as you sort of project out how you're going to play them with the Bruins this year, are you going to look at dialing back their minutes a little bit, given the mileage that's on them? Or are they full-on top-line minutes, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I think Marshy will be. Bergie, we've done that now for a couple of years. In how we've done it is try to avoid defensive zone starts in certain instances. That's why we put a lot of value in our fourth line and a lot of responsibility on them. So that's one area he's been used less. PK, we've tried not to put him over the boards twice in the same PK unless it's games on the line type of thing. So he'll get. We'll rotate through probably three pairs of forwards and not try to use them up all the time. Or if we have a bit of a lead, not use them at all if we can help it. So those are the tougher minutes, more intense minutes that we try to take off and give them more ozone starts. And so far it's worked out. I mean, he's the barometer of that. For me, honestly, he'll come to me and we'll talk about that. And some maintenance days in between, right? He doesn't practice as much as he used to, even though he loves to practice. And he's one of our hardest workers in practice. We've tried to scale that down as well. So, those three or four things all of a sudden hopefully adds some energy to him, as the year goes on.
Looking to the goaltending, kind of a change in the era. I know Tuukka's still on, on the program, but hey, you had Thomas, you had Tuukka. Thoughts on the goaltending tandem of Swayman and Ullmark?
Well, Ullmark was on our radar, I think, last year when we knew our goalies' contracts were up. He was going to be a free agent as well, so there was some discussion there. That's obviously internal with our goalie coach and GM. Obviously, he played well against us when he was in Buffalo. So that was one that became available. We decided to pursue. As for Swayman, young kid, comes in last year, plays really, really well for us. Ahead of schedule, I guess you could put it, because I think our guys felt he was similar, really going to be a good goalie, but we didn't know it would be that quick. So going into the summer, you just got to be careful that, you don't sort of have the Carter Hart situation where there's a lot of expectations for a young guy and it doesn't work out for you. So we wanted to make sure we had two really good goaltenders. I think we do. And then as for Tuukka, he's rehabbing. Wouldn't be available anyway till January, February. Obviously, the year ended and there's those discussions with your players, but he's not signed. So at the end of the day, we'll see what happens. It'd be a good problem to have down the road. But we feel the two guys we have are going to be really good. We're a good team in front of them. So expect good things from our goaltender and both goaltenders. Hopefully they push each other, because I don't think there's a defined starter per se. We would like to think it's 1A and 1B and then let it play out.
Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy is our guest. You guys signed Taylor Hall to a four-year deal in the summer as a UFA. He spent last year with you. He's been a bit of a hockey nomad, Bruce, from New Jersey to Arizona to Buffalo, to you guys. Have been a lot of different stops. How much do you think it's going to help free his mind knowing he's going to be with you for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think he enjoyed his time here last year. He came out of an environment that wasn't working out for him, comes in here, helps us win games. He's in the playoffs, playing meaningful games. And I think he enjoyed being around Bergeron and Marshy and Pastin and Krejci, for that matter, then, who's not back with us. But the elite players, he's a student of the game, so he recognizes that, and I think he's kind of wants to, learn from them, but also compete against, push them as well, and be around that type of culture. So it worked out well for us. We feel we got a real good player, some secondary scoring, take a little pressure off those top guys, and get him back to his, I don't want to say MVP form, but just where he's a really good player in the league. And if it gets to the MVP form again from a few years back, that's great. But at the end of the day, you don't have to be the face of the franchise, Taylor. Just come in and be yourself, play well, push the guys around you, be a good Bruin, be a good teammate. And it's worked out. I think that's the message he wanted to hear and enjoyed his time. And as a result, that's how we were able to lock him up long term.
Krejci, 10 games in, 12 points. Any discussions on that, Butchie? Or for right now, you're just looking, hey, whatever, that's not yesterday, but any discussion?
No, he's made it clear to us that he wanted to play back home, family reasons, supported that 100%. He's not under contract, so, we're focused on getting Charlie Coyle up to speed in the second line, and Hollow's a new center for us. So, the guys that are here, we wish him well. He's, listen, terrific guy, terrific Bruin, teammate. Down the road, if he feels like he's got some hockey left in him and wants to come back to Boston, obviously we'd listen. He's, like I said, been a real good player for us, but right now, just wishing him well, and hopefully he's accomplishing the things that he wanted to get done with his family there.
You signed Nick Foligno as well in the offseason. What role do you foresee for Nick for your team?
Well, he's going to go in and he can play anywhere. When we talked this summer, he can play center, left wing, right wing. We were a little shy on the right side. So he's going to play there with Holland DeBrus to start. I think he's a good fit there. Nick's going to play his game no matter what. He's going to get to the net. He's going to be a greasy, hard to play against guy. He can still make plays, compliment those guys, get to the front of the net for him. Those other two guys are more speed guys. And so I think it'll be a good mix. It's looked good in preseason so far. But, you know, let's get the real games underway before we, you know, we stick him in there full time. Certainly will help us in the power plays. A good net front presence. Can take some draws as a, you know, as a winger. If your center gets thrown out, kill some penalties. So he can do a little bit of everything. And also that, he's a great guy in the room. Vocal. It takes a little pressure off Bergie and Marsh in the leadership department, right? We got some good leaders here, but those are the guys that have been around the longest, and there's a lot of pressure on them in games that sort of get to their game. They're playing against best players every night, so it's nice for Nick to come in and take a little of that off their plate. So I think that'll be a real good add for us as well, the intangibles.
Is it fun as a coach as well, just to come in and have some fresh faces and kind of freshen things up overall, Butchie?
I think it is, and it's for everybody, right? I mean, unless you're the Edmonton Oilers or the, whatever, the 80s or the Islanders, or you're winning every year, and you know, I just think that that's natural to move some people in and out and get guys that are hungry to, you know, sort of play here and you want to add to the mix. So and it's just sort of a natural attrition thing as well, right? Guys move along. So I think it's good for your team. I think there's a happy medium, so to speak. I don't think you want too much turnover for us. It just happened to be a few free agents that were getting older that left. And we need to address a couple areas of our game. So I think Donnie did a great job doing that, adding pieces. And guys that have been in the league, certainly we have some young guys pushing from Providence, but we didn't want to just anoint them so that it's up to them to earn their spot. So I think we've got a good mix that way, or a good balance.
Are you feeling a sense of urgency given that a lot of your key players, or at least the couple up front, are into their 30s now? Are you guys feeling an urgency to try to push it over the top?
I don't feel that because of the players' ages. I feel it because that's the demands of the market, to be honest with you. Like, we're expected to win every year. I mean, this is a sports town where there's a lot of pressure on teams to do well. So for me, that's where I get it from, and I think that's great. You know, you'd rather be in a market that cares, so to speak, than where you fly under the radar. So, and if you look at our players, I still think a couple of them have left, and we expect just to march on. I mean, you draft and develop and replace, or you, in our case last summer, we had a little money come off the cap, so Donnie went out, like I said, did a good job replacing it. So I wouldn't say that because of our age. Obviously, Bergie's the one guy that is older, but Marsh has got good years in the past. The core guys like McAvoy, Carlos, Wayman's young. So I do think we have a good mix, but at the end of the day, I think every guy in the room would want to win it for Bergie, you know, as much as he's meant to this franchise. But I don't think it's something we never address it here. We just go out and play and you know, sort of let other people kind of judge, you know, that part of our roster.
Are you excited to get back into regular routine and get out and play in the whole league this year?
Yeah, you know what? We haven't been to Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, that swing at all in a while. For me, obviously, Ottawa's home, but just those old markets like Toronto and Ottawa, or sorry, Toronto, Montreal, that original six places, Detroit, like, get the rivalry going with Tampa Bay again. We've had some, you know, some really good games against them. And then Florida, I mean, they've really pushed the last 2 years, and we haven't seen them. So that'll be a different animal for us as well. So, and like you said, even those West Coast trips, everything, to be honest with you, just back out and living like an NHL player and organization will be. I think it'll be great for everybody. Great to see the fans in the building. I mean, we're at capacity tomorrow night. Obviously, they have a few protocols, but at the end of the day, it's good for all those elements.
All right, good stuff. I want to end with this. Obviously, you heard the news here out of Ottawa that Brady Tkachuk signed yesterday, and you have spoken since we've started talking with you about, you know, how much of a luxury it is for you being the coach of the Bruins, and that you've got there's a culture set there that's been there for a long time. The players run the room. You don't need to handle any of that. How important is it for you to have a culture within your dressing room where a head coach doesn't have to lead that part of it?
Well, I just think players take more from direction from other players, right? The coach is a coach. Of course, you know, there's a mutual respect. That's what you're hoping for. But if a player comes in that room and Bergie and Marsh start saying, you know, talking to you and coming at you, I think it just means a lot more when they hold each other accountable. It's easier to function, allows the staff to sort of, hey, you know, let's put strategy together. Let's manage people. But at the end of the day, hold yourselves accountable in that room. I just think any good team has that.
All right, good stuff. On that note, we'll let you go, and thank you very much for your time. Wish you the best of luck in the coming season, starting tomorrow night against the Dallas Stars. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Good to hear from you.
There's Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, interesting to get back into the division, JR, and trying to figure out early returns on Montreal. We've seen a little bit of Toronto, but now to watch Boston, Florida, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Buffalo, get a better feel for the division and kind of where the Sens end up slotting in.
Yeah. Are you calling again for the Bruins to maybe fall back a bit this year, and then when we have Bruce on later in the year and they don't fall back, blaming it on me? Is that the plan again for this year?
I haven't worked on the plan yet, okay. But I've got them right now. I'm going to say fourth, so I think they'll comfortably make a playoff spot because I'm still, I haven't not made a firm decision on Montreal at this point. So if I'm going to slot the division right now, I'll go Florida, Tampa, Toronto, Boston. That would be my top four.
Okay, and the fourth, and Boston in this case, making the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
No crossover.
No crossover.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. There we go. You heard it. So this year we can count on you actually not trying to blame me for that.
Exactly.
Okay, excellent. Exactly. All right, top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. Hour four is all about more of your reaction to everything we've chatted. We'll get to more of your wrenches. They've piled up throughout the morning. We'll get to them. Your thoughts on the Tkachuk contract, your thoughts on the game last night, your thoughts on the weekend ahead, not just on the Sens, who have a pair of games. We got a Red Blacks game tomorrow. We got a 67s. They got a pair of home games this weekend as well. We got a huge sports weekend ahead. We get the baseball championship series beginning tonight. We got an NFL Sunday. It's just a good time of year, isn't it? You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.